decides one day, oh, I guess I'll go to church, and God's surprised by it. And we believe he guides your steps even if you don't know him and don't even want him guiding your steps. So we're really glad that you're here. We believe you're here for a purpose, and we hope that you get to meet some people. And if you are new and didn't get by the hub before you came in, we'd encourage you to meet up with Becca, who you saw up here, and she has some information for you and stuff like that. What we're doing today is we are in our second installment of our Bay series, all right? So we, throughout the month of February, we take time to talk about love, sex, dating, relationships, all that good stuff, things that you guys are wondering about, maybe are a little too awkward to ask questions about, but things that are on your guys' minds about these sort of issues. And we kind of try to frame it in this way. You know, the world is working very, very hard to make sure that you adhere to what they think is important when it comes to your sexual activity and how you date and who you date and what that's going to look like. The world is just, they're not holding back at all when it comes to that. And we believe as Christians, as a church, we shouldn't either. God has a great plan for sex. God has a great plan for relationships. But if you allow your view of what that is and how you do that sort of stuff to be twisted by the world, it's going to be unhealthy, it's going to be ungodly, and it's going to be damaging to you. So we believe that this stuff's important, and because we believe that, we speak pretty candidly about it. So there might be some awkward moments. I told you guys last week, if you need to do your little laugh or giggle at times, go for it. That still applies for today, all right? So what we're doing today, last week we kind of set the stage and answered the question, you know, what does God think about sex, and the important truth that relationships aren't owed to you. They're not the biggest thing. They're not like the most important thing in the world. Jesus, your relationship with him, that is what the most important thing is for you. And this week we wanted to get a little bit practical. And so Megan and I were just thinking about what we were going to do, and we decided, hey, maybe we could both share this evening. So why don't you guys give Megan a hand? She's pretty awesome. She's definitely my better half. We all know this. But I am really glad to get to have her with me up here because Megan has, like, our relationship and the things that we've done, the boundaries we put into place, all that stuff, it's really pushed us to become more like Jesus. And when I think about the person that I'm spending my life with, I don't think about someone that's holding me back from becoming more like Jesus or hindering me from becoming more like Jesus. They're pushing me to become more like Jesus. And that's what you want in a relationship. And that sort of stuff starts right here, right now, with what you do when you're young. So what we decided to do, to get a little practical, because we know you guys are kind of wondering, okay, like, practically, how do we do this stuff the way that you're telling us we should? So we narrowed it down to 10 different things, all right? And so we're calling them the 10 Baymandments, all right, for having an honoring relationship that honors God and pursues sexual purity. So it's punny, all right? And we used a lot of puns, and you'll laugh at them and think I'm stupid, but I think they're funny, so shut up. So we're going to run through these things. We got 10 different things that I think are really helpful. And you guys write them down. They're going to be on the screen as well. And I think they'll be really important. But before we get into that, would you guys just have a word of prayer with me? And then we'll jump in. We'll start with our first commandment. Lord Jesus, thanks so much for who you are, God. Thanks that in this particular area that is such a big deal for so many of us, God, you don't leave us with a lack of information. You don't leave us on our own to figure this out. But instead, God, you promise to walk with us through this. You promise to give us wisdom, give us insight, give us people in our lives that help us to approach love, sex, dating, and relationships in a way that's honoring to you, God. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I pray that tonight, as we kind of talk about some of the different things that go into a God-honoring relationship, a God-honoring view of sex and love and all that, that our hearts would just be open, Lord, that if there's a conviction that needs to happen, that that would happen, Lord, but that there would not be guilt, that instead, Lord, you would show your plan. And no matter what we've done in our past or where we're at right now, Lord, we can hold fast to the truth that you do have a plan for us and that you want to see us walk that out. So we love you. We thank you. Be with us as we look into this tonight. In your name, amen. All right, so our first Baymandment that we're going to work through is kind of connected to last week, and it's this. Jesus is greater than Bay, all right? And here's what I mean by this. There are so many people, and there can tend to be a lot of teenagers, who look at their relationship and think that is all That is like where my worth comes from. That is where my value comes from. It's the most important thing in my life. And if I were to lose that person, everything would fall apart and I would just melt away into nothing. We just want to make sure right from the get-go to set the stage correctly. That is not true. God designed us for a relationship. God designed a lot of us to have a romantic relationship in the context of a marriage. But that's not the end-all, be-all of who we are, all right? We are God's children before we are anyone's wife or husband or anything like that. And we need to live in that way. We need to live in a way that says, in my priorities, in my life, Jesus most definitely, by a large margin, comes before any sort of romantic relationship or sexual desire that I have. If anyone's telling you that it's not a big deal, that the Bible's outdated in this, maybe some of you are in relationships, maybe some of you have been in past relationships where they're like, hey, it's not a big deal. We should just do this the way that we see it portrayed in movies and from our friends and that sort of deal. If they're saying that to you, you need to understand that's dead wrong. And really, if you're in a relationship like that, you need to drop them like a bad habit, all right? God's word defines what a good relationship should be, not the world, and definitely not someone who just has one thing in mind, all right? If you're more concerned with reading Bayes' texts instead of God's word, that's a big problem. That again shows that you are not putting him where he needs to be, putting him first above a relationship that maybe you want. And the best image that I can think of to kind of describe it, and we've talked about this and we've heard this, and this kind of all came to my mind when we were dating and thinking about, you know, maybe this is going to go the distance or whatever you want to say. Someone said this to me once, like, when you're dating someone, you need to be worried about pursuing Jesus. You're running after Jesus as fast as you can. And the people who you probably should think about dating if you're looking to date or if you hope to have a relationship someday are the people when you look to the side, they're running just as fast as you are. In fact, maybe even a little ahead. But so many people kind of approach this thing where it's like, you know, I'm pursuing Jesus or I want Jesus to be an important part of my life. But this person that I'm interested in because she's pretty or nice or makes me laugh or has awesome pickup lines like we saw tonight, they're way back there. Jesus isn't nearly as important to them, but it'll be okay. When we commit to this first commandment that Jesus comes before any sort of relationship or any sort of urge that we have, that shapes who we're going to date, that shapes how we're going to date, and it shapes how we're going to view sex and love. So we need to have this is kind of lays it out for the whole rest of it. If you can't adhere to this, if you can't believe this, there's no point in even talking through the rest of it. So all of the rest of these commandments hinge on the truth that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than any sort of relationship you have. Might be great, but Jesus is better. We need to know that going into it.
I think a lot of us believe that. Like, I think a lot of us would say that in word. Yeah, for sure. Like, Jesus is greater than any other person in my life. But looking at our relationships practically, is that how I live? And kind of just asking yourself some hard questions of, like, does it look like he's the greatest? Does it look like I give him my first and my best time of day? Or you know, am I going to bed and getting up? First thing I'm doing is talking to my bae or whatever. So, like, I just think we need to look and see, practically, what does my life look like? I know in theory that this is true, but does that match up to my life practically? Because I think a lot of us know the Jesus Church answers, and we can say that and say, of course Jesus is greater, but is he greater in your life? Like, when ask yourself the tough questions.
Yep. The second Bay commandment that we're going to go through is Bay needs boundaries. Okay. Intense, concrete boundaries. Megan's going to start us off with that.
For a lot of you girls were probably in Stephanie's workshop what do we call those? Breakout
sessions?
Yeah.
Well, everyone's getting all
everyone's
hot
getting
and bothered
like,
over here.
Okay. What's the problem? Probably a lot of you were in Stephanie's workshop or breakout session or whatever at summer camp.
None of the boys were, though.
None of the boys.
Okay, so, just making sure that we're on the same page.
Stephanie kind of gave us this, like, word picture about how in relationships, like, sex is a beautiful and powerful thing, but it needs a boundary. It's like, it's kind of like fire. And if fire doesn't have a boundary, it could start like a wildfire and burn everything down. But within the boundaries of like a campfire, because we're kind of like sitting around the little fire pit, within the boundaries of where it's supposed to be, it's a really good thing. And so, like, within the boundaries of marriage between a man and a woman, like, it is a beautiful, wonderful thing. So we need boundaries in our relationships. We need physical boundaries. We need emotional boundaries. We need personal boundaries and some spiritual boundaries. So we're going to kind of just talk about, like, the importance of that, because I think When we don't really go in with a game plan and we're just kind of like, la la, like I was super naive, like in high school. I just kind of was just like a really nice girl, just kind of going along with my life. And then, you know, one day I'm out for a walk with a guy who I think is my friend, and he just had, he's a Brazilian exchange student with this lovely accent and really tan skin. And
I know, I've come to an understanding here. It's fine. Don't worry about it. She can tell the story.
And all of a sudden he's kissing me, and I didn't expect that. So I didn't have like a plan of like what I was going to do. And then like fast forward a few months, and I was making really bad decisions because I wasn't on the offense of like, what am I going to do when these situations happen? Because the time to make boundaries and make decisions isn't in the heat of the moment when you have to like pull back and like,
take
cool down
shower.
And yeah, yeah, like you, it's it, the time to do it is beforehand, and to let each other know, like, this is where I'm at, and this is where I stand. This is what I believe in, and this is what I want for my relationship. So, Kyle's going to walk us through some of the physical ones because I'm too giggly. So,
all right. So, obviously God lays out some very specific guidelines. He says you are not supposed to have sex. Sex is reserved for a man and a woman in the context of marriage, period. It's very clear. It's all throughout scripture. It's mentioned time and time again. It's between a man and a woman in the context of marriage. So no one in here, unless you are married, should be having sex. So that's a very obvious physical boundary that you should not be doing. But we talked even last week about how it's not just the act of sexual intercourse. There are what the Bible refers to as sexual immorality, which includes a whole slew of other things. And we kind of had that working definition, if you remember. I mean, it's really anything that makes you want to go further. It's really anything that kind of inflames lust and immoral desires in your mind. We can say that that is sexual immorality. One of the things that I find so difficult about talking about physical boundaries is here's the truth. I can't, apart from sex and sexual morality, I can't really tell you what boundaries you need to set up in your relationship. I know what ones I need to set up in mine. I know what ones we had to set up in ours when we were dating. I can't tell you, you know, holding hands is as far as you can go. I can't tell you kissing is as far as you can go. I can't tell you standing 10 feet apart to leave room for the Holy Spirit is where you need to be. I can't tell you that stuff. But what I really would encourage you is you need to really dig deep and figure out who you are, what your turn-ons and stuff like that are, not being crass, but just being realistic, and know that I need to draw the line way farther back than that. We've talked about this before. This is a question I get all the time from high school students. Well, where's the line? Like, where can I get close enough to where I'm enjoying myself, but it's not sin? Tell me where the line is, where if I cross that, then it's going to be sin. And my answer always is, and it's biblical, who cares where the line is? You shouldn't be worried about it at all. Because when we see people in the Bible who honored God with their sex life and their relationships, they weren't worried about getting as close as they could get to the line. They were running the other direction. Old Testament's best example ever, Joseph, was this guy who was doing everything right, and this nasty old cougar was like trying to jump his bones, and he was like, I'm out of here. He got out of there so fast that the lady grabbed his clothes off, but he still booked it out of there butt naked. But what a wonderful picture of someone who's like, I'm not even getting close to giving into temptation to this. I am getting out of here. And that's what the Bible says. So when you are thinking about how far is too far physically, when you are thinking about setting up boundaries in your life physically, man, get as far away from danger as you can. There's going to be a time in your life, for those of you who get married, where you're going to be able to enjoy your wife or husband's body. But now's not the time, so stop getting as close as you possibly can to it. That's a bad, bad idea.
And something that kind of like dawned on me partway through like my dating life or dating career or whatever is like the person that I'm with and the person's like body or the person that I'm enjoying right now could very well not be my husband. So I'm with somebody else, like technically I'm with somebody else's husband. So I need to be respectful of that. And I would hope that somebody is respecting who will someday be my husband, you know? Like, so I think thinking of like, this might not be my husband or wife. Am I being respectful of them and setting them up for like a good and healthy future with whoever they end up with? Because we don't really at this point, like know who's going to make it long-term or not, you know?
And I mean, statistics would say most of you aren't. So as you interact with people, even in dating relationships, and that's not necessarily saying just like give up on them altogether, but you need to understand that there's a real possibility that that's not going to go the distance, and you need to make sure to treat them with respect. But I do understand that some of you guys are like, okay, but give me some concretes here. Just give me some good tips. And I've mentioned this last year. I think I even mentioned it both years. But it's just too good to leave out of this. And that's the purity trifecta is what we call it, all right? If you want some really specific, concrete guidelines, here's some good ones. Keep the lights on, keep your clothes on, and stay upright. If you do those three things, it'll be very hard for you to compromise, at least physically act out on some things. What you do in your mind, what you do when you're by yourself, those things might not necessarily apply, but if you are in a relationship and you're with someone, keep the lights on, keep your clothes on, and sit upright. It's not hard to do, very easy to do, but if you compromise on any of those things, all of a sudden, there is a much greater chance that you do something, compromise on something that you'll really regret later. And then the last thing about that is the Bible implores us to not even have a hint of sexual immorality in our life, which is a big ask, right? And that's not how our minds think. We think, what can we get away with rather than how pure can we be? But the Bible really, really pushes us in Ephesians 5:3, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. We need to cut that stuff out ruthlessly and as clearly as we possibly can. So those are some physical, some tips for physical boundaries. But just having sex, just engaging physically with someone, that is not that's not where sin begins for a lot of people. It begins in other areas, which are the other two we're going to talk about, emotional and personal.
Just some really practical, personal things, don't distance yourself, from other people. Bae doesn't need to be your whole world. You still need friends. If you look around and you've cut off your friendships for your boyfriend or girlfriend, I think it's pretty safe to say there's a problem there. And it's okay to you need to take time for yourself. That doesn't need to be the first thing you do when you wake up and the last thing you do when you go to bed. It's okay. It's good to have time for ourselves. And also just as we pursue God, it's good to bring up God and to have him be a part of your relationship, but you also need to be growing personally, spiritually, and not just, he or she can't ride off of your spiritual life. You need to have your own spiritual life with the Lord and be growing, and you can sharpen each other, and that's a great thing. But it shouldn't be one-sided. So those are just a few really practical, personal, boundaries.
And then the last one that we kind of mentioned was some emotional boundaries. And basically, here's what we mean by this. There are people, especially Christians, who are they've set good boundaries physically, they've set good boundaries personally, but they have given every little bit of their heart over to the person that they're dating. This is what a guy who had a big role in my life called it. He called it emotional fornication. Fornication is sex, right? But basically, he's like, you haven't done anything physically, but you are so emotionally intertwined that it's unhealthy for you. And sometimes Christians find it easier to do that because we can't find intimacy through what we're doing physically, so we're going to try to find that through an emotional connection. And all of a sudden it's like a Nicholas Sparks movie or something like that, where there's just such a high level of drama and there's all this stuff that's going on in both of your lives, and it just feels like you couldn't take another step without the other person. That's not right. It's good for us to have some emotional boundaries. You don't need to share everything as soon as you start dating. You don't need to share everything all the time. There's a certain level of trust that goes into a relationship, but man, especially when you first kind of start into it, you need to have some boundaries emotionally too. If you're playing house all day, it takes kind of the specialness out of the relationship, and eventually emotional very often leads to physical, because you've already made that intimacy emotionally. Being intimate physically is just a few steps down the road.
And I think sometimes as Christians, it's really tricky because we're always told be with somebody that you could see yourself marrying. So we sometimes get into this mindset where we're thinking about marriage before we've even started dating them. And I think it's important for us to say this person has qualities of somebody that I could marry, and I can see that in them. But I don't think we need to be naming our kids and planning our wedding the minute we start dating. I think that that gets us to a spot so quickly where things get super, super serious, when part of dating is just getting to know each other, seeing if we fit together, and part of it is just having fun. And when we put so much pressure and heaviness on it, sometimes it's hard to just enjoy the parts that have less responsibility.
And the thing we want to kind of round out this Bae Mammoth with is boundaries are difficult, when it comes to having a relationship, but they are possible. It's not an impossible thing to ask. And we just, and not because we're special, not because we're better, but our relationship is an example of that. There were times where we felt these boundaries getting pressed and pushed, and there were times that we even took steps in the wrong direction, but we were willing to then set those boundaries back where they need to be, take steps backwards, and make sure that we are honoring God with what we do. And we got to our wedding night, and neither one of us had sex, and we were able to enjoy each other the way that God intended for a relationship to happen. It breaks my heart when even parents kind of just look at you guys and think, well, there's no way that either, I mean, between them and the person they end up marrying, there's no way that both of them are going to make it without having sex. I've had a parent actually tell me that. Well, my daughter will probably hold it together, but she won't find someone who's a virgin to marry. And just because you've made mistakes doesn't mean that you're like completely written off or anything like that. And we're going to talk about that a lot at the end of this and even next week. But you need to know that these things aren't impossible. Starting here, starting forward, setting intense boundaries is possible and it's helpful. So don't look at this and say, well, that's just too overwhelming. There's no way we could do that. You can. I promise you can, especially in the power of the Holy Spirit. The next big commandment that we want to touch on, and some of these will go a little faster, that one had a little bit more into it, is this. Don't settle. I'm specifically thinking of this, where I get this idea a lot from people, is they think, hey, I am a Christian, and I know this person who doesn't know Jesus, but they're really good. They're a really good person, and they're a really nice person, and I really like them. And that totally could be the case. But what I would encourage you to do is, if Jesus is first in your life, do not settle for anyone who doesn't know him. And I know that that's mean sounding or something, but that's just like such a practical step in honoring God with your relationship. There's nowhere in the Bible specifically, there's one verse that people try to use to prove this, and it's taken out of context and it's not interpreted correctly. There's no verse that just says you have to date other Christians, but the overarching theme of Scripture is that you are more passionate about Jesus than you are about anything else. And if you're in a relationship with someone who doesn't know Jesus, you're heading in two different directions. Now, sometimes as the end of that person comes around and trusts Jesus with their life, sometimes, in my experience, if I can just be honest, not often, much more often, I see people who love Jesus, their love fade for him because they're being tempted by what the world has to offer and because it's easier to get pulled down than to pull someone up. So I would encourage you, man, don't settle for someone who doesn't know Jesus. You might have a lot of affection toward a person. You might really like them. You might be dating someone who's not a Christian right now. Do not settle for anyone who doesn't know him and isn't pursuing him. You need to make sure that the person that you're interested in or dating loves Jesus more than they love you. Otherwise, you're gonna run into all kinds of problems.
Our fourth one is guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. That's in the Message. And then in the New Living Translation, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And I mean, I think that's so true. I think so many of us know a person who we would say, like, man, they had so much potential, but they just got mixed up with, like, the wrong person. And now, like, look where they are. Because where our heart turns kind of turns our feet towards a direction. And I think that we are so careful to, like, guard our possessions. Like, we're so good at, like, taking care of, like, our favorite shoes and making sure they don't have any scuffs on them. Or, you know, like, we all have, like, that thing that we, like, Kyle is so vigilant about his stupid computer, about, like, if anything touches it or gets near it, like, he just, it's just like, not the computer.
It's expensive.
No.
Okay. I don't want to waste money, all right?
Anyway, it's a big deal.
Use it every day.
But I think a lot of times we are so careful, like, to take care of our possessions. But then when it comes to, like, our hearts, we often, like, we don't guard our hearts. We just settle for, like, whoever will give us the time and attention. And I think a lot of times, like, it comes back to knowing where our worth comes from. We let our worth come from people when it's supposed to come from God. And so it's like knowing where our worth comes from. Because at the end of the day, I think we're either going to be alert to the things of God, or we're going to be alert to sin. And, like, I think when we make little compromises, like, in our sexual purity, it's kind of like a noose around our neck, and it slowly squeezes out our breathing until we're kind of, like, on our toes for sin. And we can be on our toes for God, or we can be on our toes for sin. And so, do you want to explain the other part of that?
Yeah. You know, and so, we heard some people kind of talking about this very thing, and it was really cool. kind of talking about being on our toes for sin. They're saying when we trust in sin, when we follow sin, when we are alert to sin, we're essentially putting a noose around our neck, because God says that sin, when it's full grown, when it's all grown up, it leads to death every time. So when we are alert to sin, when we follow sin or pursuing sin, especially in the area of sexual purity and our relationships, we're putting a noose around our own neck. We're sealing our own fate. And sin will drag us around for the rest of our lives until we die and have like full destruction. But then they compare it to a passage where Jesus talks about his plan, his purpose. And so we can pursue sin, or we can pursue God's purpose in our life, which is to become more like him, which is to do the things that he's called us to do. And what he describes, someone who follows him, who's following his purpose, isn't a noose around someone. Jesus describes it as a yoke. And basically, what it was kind of like this collar thing that helped animals, oxen. I'm going to call them oxen. Steer these animals that they would use to plow fields and carry stuff and transport things and all this deal. And it was usually a pretty heavy thing. But what Jesus was saying is, my yoke is light. Like, the things that I am calling you to, they are worthwhile. They are not this huge burden. They're for your benefit. And they kind of drew this really clear picture between, are we being led by God's light yoke that is leading us into worthwhile things and important things and eternal things? Or are we getting drug around by this noose made of our own sin desires that are dragging us down and dragging us into sin? We need to choose God's light yoke, because he is leading us into a purpose that's way better than what we think is enjoyable at the moment. Our next commandment is this: save the drama for your mama, all right? Here's what I mean by this, and I am passionate about this. Relationships are supposed to have a certain level of enjoyment, all right? If you are 100% miserable all the time in your relationship, you shouldn't be in that relationship, all right? If the major characteristic of your dating relationship with someone is you're always ticked at each other, you're always arguing, you hate being around each other, but somehow you're still dating, you shouldn't be. I feel pretty clear saying that. And I feel like maybe some of us in here are kind of in that boat. We're not blind. We see you like slinking off to dark corners of the campus to argue with each other every Wednesday night or Sunday morning. And it's not healthy and it's not right, and you're missing out on what God wants to do. I can't even tell you how many awkward conversations or fights that I've accidentally walked up on. And some of you guys, I'm like, oh, just kidding. I'm just going to walk away now, you know? And so if you are in a relationship that's 100% marked by drama and issues and like turmoil, it's not a healthy relationship. There will always be times in a relationship that matters where you have to work through stuff. I'm not saying that there won't be, but what I am saying, especially now, early on in your guys' dating relationships, if you're coming up into all these super huge problems, it's probably not a good idea. Don't let drama be a marker for your relationship. One thing that happened with us when we were dating, which we may have shared, do you want to share it?
Sure. the relationship that I was in before I dated Kyle was marked by a lot of drama. There was a lot of up and down. The guy was like super emotional, and I'm emotional. So like it was just a lot of emotion all the time. And so I was kind of used to just like when there was a problem, I was kind of just used to just like we kind of split up, then we get back together, and we split up and we get back together. We were like that annoying couple. And when Kyle and I started dating, And we like ran into problems, I just like wanted to walk away. And I was just like, you know, well, like in my mind, I'm like, we'll date later, but we're breaking up. And so Kyle so kindly looked at me and he was just like, all right, well, if you want to break up, we're breaking up forever. We're breaking up for good. I'm not, you know, this is it. So are you sure you want to break up? And I said, nope. And then I just got back in the car, and then we just kind of were like, I guess that never happened. And then we just kept going. But I was so used to just kind of living in this unhealthy cycle of not knowing how to deal with conflict. And he was just like, we're not going to be that. We're not going to have that drama. Like if you want this, we'll work through it. And if you don't, then we will be done.
Which I think back to that, I'm like, I mean, I'm not sure if I would have followed through with that, but it makes for a great illustration, you know? And, but there's total truth in that. And we see this in media, TV, movies, books. Like, any good story is any good love story worth reading or watching or whatever, it's marked by all this drama. And, like, they're lost at sea, and then they're found again. There's all these emotions attached to it. And then they leave, and they come back. And then I fell in love with someone else, but now I want to be with you. And it's stupid, right? It's stupid. And it doesn't honor God, because what it does is it makes it all about you. Makes it all about what you're feeling. And that shouldn't dictate how we love the person that we end up spending our life with.
All right. Our next one is Bay needs accountability. God says that there's wisdom in counsel. It says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to counsel. And it says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. And I think a lot of times, we can cut ourselves off from accountability and from wise counsel. If you're the only person, if you and your boyfriend or girlfriend are the only person that thinks that your relationship is a good idea, and all of your friends and all of the people that you love and respect are all have a lot of reservations about it, I think that's something to look at. We need to listen to wise counsel. We need to listen to the people around us, and to get accountability. I know in my own life, from my own experience, that a lot of times when I would seek out to not have accountability, it was because I was doing things that I knew that I shouldn't, and I didn't want someone to call me out on it. So I would purposely separate myself from people that were going to call me on my crap. And so I think that it's important to have those people in our life and to have those people that we respect and that are going to be able to call us out when we're not living the way that we should. So just think about who your accountability is, and if you're listening to them in your relationship or in your future relationships, think about those people that have a voice in your life.
The next one, number 7, is what you're doing now is shaping who you will become later. Sometimes we can convince ourselves that whatever we're doing right now doesn't super matter. It's just part of growing up. It's part of finding ourselves. It's part of experimenting, whatever phrases we want to use to describe it. And we think it's not going to affect who we become later. That is one of the deepest lies from the devil. What you are doing right now, how you are dating right now, what your views on women for guys and men for ladies are being shaped will shape who you're going to be later. What you look at right now is shaping how you feel about the opposite sex. All this stuff that you are doing right now totally shapes who you will become later, which means we need to be very careful about how we're acting right here and now. Here's what I mean about here's kind of an example of this one that comes up a lot. There are a lot of guys my age and some of the age that you guys are as you grow older. I think the numbers will only increase. There are a lot of guys who have a really unrealistic view of what sex is because they have been so steeped in pornography, in pornographic images and video and stuff like that. They watch that stuff and they think that's how sex is supposed to be. And then they get into a scenario where they have sex, especially these people who are Christians, and maybe even like save themselves for their marriage night. And they get to that, and they have a certain expectation because they've allowed how they view sex to be shaped by some video by a bunch of actors, and they're really disappointed, and it causes them a whole bunch of problems. It causes their spouse a whole bunch of problems because what they did when they were 12, 13, 14 years old, they didn't think it was a big deal, but it shaped how they view women in later on in their relationship. Girls, you're not immune to that. Numbers are going up, up, up every year for girls who would say that they were addicted to pornography. 20% of Christian ladies said that they were addicted to pornography. I just saw that study today, which is crazy. And it's not just like actual pornographic videos, stuff like that. Sometimes with you ladies, it's a lot more like what you read. 50 Shades of Grey was a big deal. Even some like lesser ones like Twilight and some of that sort of stuff. It's not healthy. It's shaping your guys' minds to think about love and relationships in a certain way. Another example is, and this is a big one for those of you who are dating right now. If you think right now that your boundaries are something that you can kind of move around and they're not that big of a deal, and you know, I can kind of sneak on a few of these things and it's not that big of a deal, you need to understand where the logical conclusion to this brings you. If you think boundaries aren't a big deal now, and you get married, you're going to be that person who says, well, my marriage boundaries, you know, they're not a big deal. Like, maybe it's okay for me to have someone on the side, or maybe it's okay for me to, you know, kind of have like an inappropriate relationship with someone, even if it's not physical. Like, how you're viewing this stuff now will shape what kind of person you become later. It's the age-old truth that maybe you've heard your parents say and maybe you're sick of hearing it. Garbage in, garbage out. What you're consuming is shaping you. If all we ever watch or read or think about falls into the category of sexual immorality, why in the world would we think that we can hold it together when a real flesh and blood person that we're attracted to is standing right in front of us? We need to understand that what we are doing now shapes who we are going to become later.
All right, number 8 is every baby's got choices.
That's my favorite pun. That's a good one, right? Every baby's got choices.
Yeah, about.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little slow on the uptake, but I see it in you guys. Well done. Good job.
This one is about love is a choice, and I feel like this one is something that Kyle has really taught me a lot about. I'm much more like feelings driven than he is, but I think sometimes we act like love is just this feeling that we don't have any control over him, but I'm so in love with him. And it even follows over into like the physical realm of where like, oh, I'm just like really feeling in this moment. But it's like, love is a choice. You have a choice at any moment to stop when you're going too far. You have a choice to love somebody even when you don't feel like it. You know, like in 1 Corinthians 13, it says like, love is patient, love is kind. It's slow to anger. It's not proud. And those aren't just like, those aren't the things we feel. Like, I don't feel patient. I don't feel kind or slow to anger, but that's when we're loving, we're making the choice to be slow to anger. We're making the choice to be patient. So I think a lot of times we have to choose to love. And that was something that was kind of like hard for me to learn, like just in my personality, is I always just for a long time thought that loving somebody was just doing whatever made them feel good and just being nice and kind to them. But sometimes loving people, truly loving them like Christ doesn't always look like that. It's not always like the nice, kind thing, but sometimes, you know, loving somebody is letting them go so that they can grow closer to the Lord because you know that you're a barrier. Love doesn't always look, exactly like the touchy-feely nice stuff. Sometimes it's a little more complicated than that. And I think that sometimes like we have in our head all these ideas of what we think should happen like in our love lives. And I think about all the ideas that I had for my life. And if they had played out the way that I thought that they should have, and when I would be so frustrated with God when like a relationship didn't work out, and I think of like where I would be now, and I'm so thankful that God is sovereign and that His way is like higher than my way, and that His way is the best way, because I definitely wouldn't be like where I am now. So I think that just remembering that He has a plan for your love life, and He is sovereign over it, but that we have the choice in how we treat people and how we love them.
Number 9, and we just got 2 more left, is singleness isn't a struggle. And here's what I think is important for us to remember. None of you guys are spinsters. No one's ovaries are drying up. No one's biological clocks are ticking in here, all right? Tomorrow isn't promised us. We could get hit by a car on the way home today and our life would be over. But for those of us who are going to go live on years and years and years, there's not a rush, all right? There's no rush. Enjoy your singleness. There are a lot of benefits to having a relationship, but there are also a lot of benefits to not having one. And you don't need to worry so much about it. There's a lot of people who kind of view, and maybe it's a cultural thing, maybe it's what you hear portrayed in media and stuff, maybe it's just your own personal desire to have someone to love you, which I get. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being single. It's not a disease. It's not something you can catch. It's not a big deal. And really, if there's ever a time in your life where it really gels to live a single life, it's in high school. Like, you have friends, you have new experiences, you have extracurricular activities, you have all these opportunities, you have all the time in the world, you have probably more money than you're going to have later on in life because you have parents, and you have a ton of opportunities that having a relationship only makes more messy. That's not saying don't have one, but you don't need to worry so much about being single. It's not the end of the world. And something I also want to make sure that we understand is maybe some of you guys are actually called to live a single life for the rest of your life. I know sometimes, at least in our minds, we're kind of like, well, everyone gets married because everyone gets married. That's what we do. And even in the church, it's kind of like, well, you're a lesser person until you get married. And then when you get married, it's like, ah, you've entered the realm of the us normals. So glad to have you with us, you know? There's nothing wrong with being single. In fact, the Bible kind of applauds people who can live like a single life. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 7:7-8. I wish that all men were as I am, because he was single. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, the other has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say it's good for them to stay unmarried as I am. It's not for everyone, but I wonder if there are some people that God would really love to use for big things that don't even take into consideration the idea that maybe they are called to live a single life because culture says you have to have a relationship. Now, a real God-honoring relationship between a man and a woman is a great picture of God's love, but God can also do a lot of really cool things because of the kind of weird situation you find yourself in when you're single, where you don't have quite as many responsibilities to a family, your time isn't quite as divided like as if you'd have a relationship. God uses single people to do pretty incredible things sometimes. So what I encourage you to do, it's not really land on either side of it maybe right now, but just be open to the possibility, and maybe God is calling you to that. And in any case, it's not a big deal if you're single right now. It's totally okay. It's not a struggle. It's not a sin you need to repent of or get over. It's okay to be single right now. So don't shy away from it.
And our last one is purity starts now. And we definitely don't want anyone to walk away feeling like, frig, I've really blown it. I've already messed this up. And like, it's like, what now? What for me? Because we don't want anyone to feel like that. And Becca's going to like hit on that like really more fully next week. But first off, I just want you to know that like you're not alone in that. Most of us at one time or another have struggled with our sexual purity, whether it is with another person or whether it is like in the privacy of your own room and nobody knows about it. But I think what the devil loves to do, like his tool is just like to isolate you and make you feel like you are the only person who's ever dealt with that. You're so dirty. You're so like, you should be so ashamed. And he wants to just like put us out there and make us feel like we're so alone in that. And you're not alone in that. And the truth is that there is so much freedom and wholeness to be had in Christ, and that he can make us a new creation, and that starts now. I know that my group is probably sick of hearing this, but I always say just do the next right thing, because that's something that one of my mentors taught me, that just like sometimes we get so overwhelmed with like, oh, like what am I going to do now? I've messed up so much. And she would always just say, Megan, just do the next right thing. And so, it's just like, okay, well, what's the next right thing? What's the next thing I can do to honor him? And then just taking one step closer and then one step and then one step is a lot less overwhelming than looking at the big picture of it all. And also just like, praise God that it says in his word that his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. It's not about our faithfulness, because we are an unfaithful people, but it's about his faithfulness. So I just don't want anyone to leave here like feeling discouraged, feeling like they messed up, because I can sit here and say that I made a lot of mistakes that I wish that I hadn't made, but I can sit here and say that like I'm completely whole and new in Christ, and I don't carry the shame and the guilt of that anymore. And I guess I just want to let you know that there is hope and there is truth in that. And Becca's definitely going to talk more about it next week. But
and we just need to know, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, Scripture says that the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of us. And that is enough to repair any damage that we've done to ourselves. It's enough to recarve like memories and thoughts and neural pathways, because all that stuff is affected when we start to mess with sex and sexual immorality. But God's power can kind of make all that right, and it definitely will give us strength to walk through that and to resist the temptation. So if wherever you're at right now, which Becca's going to touch on this next week, we've all sinned sexually. I find it very hard to believe that everyone in here has never had a sinful thought when it comes to sex before. I find that really hard to believe. So we're all in the same boat, but purity starts now. No matter what you've done, no matter how little you think you've done, it starts right here, right now, pursuing God, setting boundaries, doing all these different commandments to make sure that your relationships, your thoughts, your actions are honoring to God in this area. That's what we got for today, the 10 commandments. We appreciate Megan being up here. It's nice to you guys to kind of have a different voice and thought like that. So let me pray for you guys. And you will be headed off to small groups. And be sure to come back next week because Becca's going to be sharing some really important stuff. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for who you are. Lord, this is just such a big deal. It's just such a big deal. So God, I pray that we wouldn't treat it lightly. It's easy, I think, in awkwardness or because we don't want to hear it, for us to just kind of be like, they don't know what they're talking about. That's different for us. Whether people in this room are in relationships, whether they've been in relationships, whether they hope to have relationships, God, I pray that your truths come out, come across, that this is the standard for everyone. Lord, I pray that we would pursue your face above anything else. I pray that we would be intentional and practical in how we go about our sexual urges and thoughts and our relationships and all the things that go into what we've been talking about over these past couple weeks. And Lord, we're just really grateful that you promise us that there is victory in that, that you walk alongside us and you lead us. And Lord, that you won't let us fall if we trust you and pursue you. We love you. We thank you for who you are, God, in your awesome name. Amen.